let's pray together. Lord, from our hearts, we want to say, and we do say, that we will follow where you lead. Wherever you go. And whoever you say to love, we will love. And whoever you say to serve, we will serve. Because we're following you. And I'm so grateful for your word that tells us how to follow. Your word that is powerful, that is life-changing, that is alive, that pierces our hearts and our souls, that illuminates our path. Your word that transforms us. And as we now look at your word, we ask you to change us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am so excited about this passage of Scripture. Like, I love this passage. We're talking about the vine and the branches today, and I've titled this sermon, Abide and Expect. Abide and Expect. So let me just get your head where my head is a little bit on expectations. If I were to tell you that I'm going to preach an hour this morning, because I already did this once, right? You know that I did this in nine. What if I said, hey, today's extra long, it's going to go an hour. And then I went 45 minutes. What would you be thinking at the end? I know what you're going to be thinking. You're not going to be thinking, Sean, please give us more. You're going to be thinking, yes, we got out 15 minutes early. On the contrast, if I said, hey, look, I did this sermon already 30 minutes, man. This is a quick one today. And then I went 45. Same amount of time. You're not happy at that point, are you? You said 30 minutes? Expectations. Same experience. Expectations are different. How about this one? You want to go out at a really nice restaurant. You know, you got a bonus, raise, whatever. You've been saving up. Man, we're going to go to this really nice restaurant. You're researching it online. You go to Yelp. You talk to your friends. You get the word. And this is supposed to be like a top-notch, five-star restaurant. You're so excited. You get there. And you know what? The food is not up to par. Mediocre service, mediocre food. And you are disappointed, to say the least. Now, how about this? How about you decide, hey, you know what? We don't really care what happens tonight. Let's just go on an adventure. We have no idea where we're going to go. We have no idea what we're going to do. And as a matter of fact, it might not be that good. And you end up at that same restaurant and the food ends up being mediocre. You're not going to be that bothered by it because you didn't expect it to be that good anyway. The expectations that you and I have about everything in life, they frame and shape our experience. Same experiences, different expectations. Now, what the scriptures are telling us today in John chapter 15, Jesus is laying out high, high expectations. And it's expectations that result when we abide in him. When we abide, there are clear expectations that we should have. I believe that's the whole point of why Jesus is telling us about the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. Now, before we jump in to the passage of Scripture, I feel like it's appropriate that I cover the basis on one word because it helps you understand these verses, because we're going to read through these verses in a second. The word is abide. It's not a word we use very often in our common vernacular, but that's why I need to cover it, because it's used 10 times in these 17 verses. That's a lot of times. And if you don't get it, like if you kind of like, I don't really know what abide means, then it's going to be confusing. So in verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. Verse 5, whoever abides in me and I in him. Verse 9, abide in my love. So there's just three examples. So abiding, well, let's think about it like this. Abiding involves the inactivity of receiving. The inactivity of receiving. Example, if I were to say to you, hey, abide in your seat, what am I telling you to do? I'm just telling you to stay there. I would imagine that none of you are fighting some uncontrollable urge to get up and leave. Right? It's not that hard to abide in your seat. You just sit there. There's an inactivity involved. Now, you obviously had to get there at some point in the past, but now that you're there, you just stay. Okay? So there's an inactivity involved. But there's also an action and some activity involved in abiding, because if you were just to sit there for the next however many number of minutes this is going to be, and you zoned out, I mean, you could take, it's realistic, and well, it's not very realistic, but it is possible that you could take a nap in your seat, right? I know there's somebody in the back. Give him a nudge. He's sleeping right now. So, are you abiding in your seat? Well, you are. You're staying there, but you're not fulfilling what we would say is the whole meaning of abiding in your seat at this moment. Because there's an expectation that I have, and that you would even put upon yourself, of listening, of engaging your mind. And these are both really similar to our relationship to Jesus. When inactively, we abide in Him because we are connected to Him. There is nothing on an ongoing basis that a Christian needs to do to abide. You are abiding. Your abiding was sealed when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You could think of abiding just in the same way as salvation. It happened in the past, it continues on now, and it just happens. Just like you're sitting in your seat. But there's also an action that's involved in your abiding, just like with Jesus. You should talk to Him in prayer. We should read His Word. We should be a part of Christian fellowship. So there's an element of action that's involved in abiding also. But if I were to emphasize one more than the other, I would say it's the emphasis would fall on the inactivity. That you and I fundamentally receive from Jesus in our abiding. Fundamentally, we receive from Him. Now, this will make a little more sense as we kind of flesh it out, get into the Scriptures, and I'm going to explain some of the details of this. But if you would, at this point, turn to John chapter 15. If you have your Scriptures with you, that'd be fabulous. You can read along as I read these 17 verses. If you don't have a Bible with you, the Scriptures will be up on the screen. You can follow there as well. And then we'll just break this thing down and explain a little bit about the two parts of abiding and expecting. Verse 1. I am the true vine. That should, your mind ought to go, oh, I think that sounds familiar. Because in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now He's reminding them, hey, remember, I'm the truth. I'm the true vine. And my Father, He's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes it away. A good example of that would be Judas. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. That's a painful experience, but the point of the pruning is to bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, I and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now he's going to talk about obeying and commands here in a second. A little bit of repeat from last week as Jesus is talking to his disciples here. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Abide and then expect. The main themes that are flowing through these 17 verses. And what I'd like to do is show two insights that relate to abiding from these verses. So we're going to talk about abiding first, and then in a little bit we'll get to expectations. So, as it relates to abiding, the first thing that I'd like to point out from these verses is this. It's very basic. You could come up with it yourself. And it's this: the branch derives everything from the vine as it abides. The branch derives everything from the vine as it abides. One of the verses in there that would indicate that is verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you look at the screens here, you'll see this photograph of a vine which spreads out then into two branches. This is a typical growth structure that a vine dresser or someone who works with grapes would have their vines and their branches grow. I went to someone's house this last week who has a vineyard, and I took some photographs. And so this is not only what their vines and branches look like, this is the typical vine and branch structure. Jesus is saying, I'm that vine coming up from the ground. And then when it branches off into the two sections, that's you. You are the branches. Now, it would be a little bit ridiculous to expect that we could cut that branch off and that the branch would grow. And that's what Jesus is saying here. As the branch, you can't do anything without being connected to me. So, a couple weeks ago, Rob Hall and I did a conference call with a guy who's a manager of a vineyard and works with the branches and the vines and the pruning and the grapes all the time. And he had some really insightful things that he had to share with us. And so a few of them I'm going to sprinkle along in here. I don't really know that much about this except for the fact that I talked to this expert, because this was the first time this last week when I took this photograph that I'd actually even seen a grapevine growing. But here's what this guy said. They actually talk about the juices flowing through the vine up into the branches, which then go out into the grapes. Like, that's a word that they would use, juices. And I'm like, well, what is it? What is that? What are, like, the juices? He's like, well, the sugars, the nutrients, the DNA that's flowing up through the vine into the branches. Now, Jesus is making this parallel from the vines and the branches to us. He's saying, look, we derive everything from him. He is our source of spiritual nourishment. Now, it's an interesting note here about Napa Valley. They've discovered that the vines in Napa are very lazy. And the soil is so rich and fertile there that the root systems only have to go about 25 to 30 feet deep to derive what they need. And that's why so they're lazy. That's a shallow root system for a vine. In contrast, just up into the hills, about elevations about 2,500 feet, the soil is rocky and hard, and it's less fertile. And so the root systems will go 80 to 120 feet deep. And here's what they found. The vines up in the hills produce better fruit. It's filled with more antioxidants. It has an earthier, more full taste. It's more seasoned. The bottom line, the fruit is better. So the principle that they're deriving out of this, and as gardeners and people are growing vines, they're all into this stuff. But get the parallel here in our spiritual lives. See, the more stress and hardship the vine endures, the better tasting fruit it produces. Get that. The more hardship and stress the vine endures, the better tasting fruit it produces. Now, I'm going to get to Jesus in a second, but let me give you one more interesting note. They've got some of these vines over in Europe dating back to the 1700s. They've gone through famine, wars, fire. They produce fruit that evidently is just out of this world. Bottles of wine from these fruits go from anywhere from $12,000 to $250,000 just for a bottle. Now, when he said that, I'm like, don't waste that on me. Because my palate can't understand the difference. You know, you put like a bottle of that and a bottle of like some $2 wine in front of me, I'm like, I don't know. So, but people that are into this, they know the better taste coming from those vines. Now, so listen, Jesus, as our true vine, has been stressed and broken and tortured to such an extent that no one could ever compare. I mean, he's the vine dating back to eternity, right? He is the vine who has been stressed and gone through more hardship than anyone. And because of this, the fruit that he produces through us, his branches, is supposed to be the best fruit around. And I would say that it's such amazing fruit, it even changes the lives of other people. The fruit that comes out of your lives changes the lives of other people. That's amazing fruit. And it happens because we as the branch derive everything from the vine. That's the first thing to think about here as we think about the abiding. The second thing to note in these verses related to abiding is this, is that there is a strong caution and a danger. Beware of not abiding. Beware of not abiding. In verse 2, it tells us, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. I mean, Jesus is offering some pretty dire warnings to people that do not abide in these verses. And to understand what it means, we need to look at a couple of things. First, we need to look at how does abiding begin? And secondly, once it's begun, can it be lost? How does it begin? That's the first thing we need to look at. It begins by Jesus loving us, revealing his love to us, and then we put our faith in him. Abiding is synonymous with salvation. When we put our trust in him, the abiding starts. That's how abiding starts. Secondly, can it be lost if there's no fruit coming out of your life? That's what the verses seem to indicate. Like, if a branch is there and there's no fruit coming out, like does it get cut off and get thrown and then burned? That's a bad thing. Like, if we're the branch, we don't want to get burned. We don't want to get discarded and thrown away. So, can a person then be connected to Jesus, have salvation, and then be cut off and thrown away? Absolutely not. No, no, no. The scriptures are so crystal clear about this. It's a tragedy that anybody thinks that that could potentially happen. Once you are connected to Jesus, once a person has given their faith to him, and they've relied upon him for everything, you cannot be cut off. I believe what's being talked about here in these verses, verse 2 specifically, I think, talks about Judas Iscariot. He's a branch who looks like he's bearing fruit, but in fact he's not. Judas was around followers of Jesus. He had behaviors that looked like followers of Jesus. He was in their company. But he was never a branch connected to the vine. And gosh, there are a lot of people, I think, even today, that are branches like Judas, that look a lot like a Christian. They have some moral behavior. They know some some right things to say. They might even listen to Christian radio as they're driving around town. They come to church. But they've never put their faith and their trust in Jesus, the vine. And because of that, they are a branch. But they are a branch that is disconnected. And because they are a branch that is disconnected, verse 6, Jesus is saying, look, if you don't abide in me, if you don't put your faith in me, here's what's going to come. You're going to be a branch who withers, and then at the end of your life, you will be thrown into a fire and burned. That is the eternal torture and punishment that's coming. Beware of not abiding. So the two things that Jesus is talking about in these verses related to abiding are, look, as the branch that is connected, everything we derive comes from the vine. And secondly, and you do not want to be disconnected from the vine. You want to be connected. And you want to be receiving from Him. Big, big caution there. But these verses are not really designed to give a caution to the disciples. Jesus is telling these 11 disciples these words to encourage them. He's using the negative as a contrast to who they are, because they are the true believers. They are the disciples. They're the followers of Christ. And most likely what's happened here, because we know at the end of chapter 14, Jesus says, let's get up and leave, that probably what's happening is that Jesus, as he's telling them about the vine and the branches, Jesus is most likely walking through the dark streets of Jerusalem with his 11 disciples. And as they're walking, they probably were seeing vines and branches around them. The vines in Israel are a little different than what we grow in America. The stalk of the vine would go 10 to 12 feet tall, and then they would build a trellis and let the branches spread out from there. So often people would be walking down the streets underneath kind of a canopy of branches, or they would see them all around. And so you can imagine Jesus now, he's walking down the street, and he's thinking about things he's been telling his disciples. He's been telling them, hey, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, if you love me, obey me. And you're going to need a lot of help to do that, because you can't do it in your own power. So the Holy Spirit, he's going to be helping you do it. Now let's leave here. Let's start walking along the street. Let me give you an example. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Like, it looks like this, guys. And you should expect, as you abide, you should expect fruit to start coming out of your life. You should look for it. You should see it. It's not accidental. You shouldn't be surprised when fruit starts popping out of your life. You should be, well, there's some fruit. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a branch. And so there are two expectations that I just want to point out here that Jesus talks about related to abiding in him. And the first one is this. Fruit naturally comes from the DNA of the vine. Fruit naturally comes from the DNA of the vine. And since Jesus is our vine, the fruit we produce should look like his fruit. I mean, the specific fruits are described in these 17 verses are these. A bunch of times it says the word fruit, and then it talks about what I would call the fruit of answered prayers. And then he gets real specific, and he says, all right, how about the fruit of joy and the fruit of love? So those are four fruits that he talks about. One of them is a big generic word, and then answered prayers, joy, and love. And I just want to talk about those a little bit to help us get in the mindset of expecting and looking for this stuff that flows out of our lives. When he's talking about the fruit, Jesus is the fruit. The examples that he gives us in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we try to emulate those. We try to experience those, and hopefully at times we have those coming out of our lives. But Jesus, think about how different he is. He is those fruits. He can't be anything but those fruits. And when we connect with him, his desire is that we produce that fruit out of our lives. It's natural. It should be expected. Now, I'm going to come back to a couple of those in a second when we talk about joy and love. So at this point, let's talk about answered prayers. In verse 7 and verse 16, he tells us that when we abide in him, he will answer our prayers. Now, these are always strange verses when we come to them in the scriptures. And I'm not sure how you react, but I bet your reaction is similar to mine, where you're a bit guarded when you read verses like that. Because you've hoped that your prayers would be answered like it describes them in these verses, and then you prayed for something in the past and it just didn't happen. I know I've done that. And so now you're a bit guarded. You're like, I don't really know. What does that mean? It can't mean what it really says it means, because I've prayed those things and it didn't happen. So what does it mean when Jesus is saying, look, if you're abiding in me, you should expect answered prayers? Here's what I think it means. I think it means that the vine is sending up its DNA. It's sending up his fruit of the Spirit. It's sending up his love, his joy, his strength into us, his branch. And over time, it does not happen in a moment. It does not happen in a year. It doesn't happen in 2 years. It takes a lot of time. What happens is the branch and the vine look so much alike, you can't tell them apart. That photograph that I showed you a second ago, if I were just to zoom in on a small little part of the vine or a small little part of the branch and said, which is which, you couldn't tell. They look identical. They look identical because they've become one. Jesus wants us, as we abide, to become one with him. And when that happens, we ask for the same stuff that he wants, because we're him. We're like him. He's flowing in us. I mean, it's a crude example, but it's similar to going out to a restaurant or hanging out with some friends, and you know what your good friend or your spouse wants to eat. How do you know that? Because you spend a lot of time with them. And maybe because they always order the same stuff. But you get the picture. The more time you spend together with a person, the more you know them. The more you understand them. The point of when Jesus is saying, look, when you ask stuff of the Father, he's going to give it to you. The point is that we should be so intertwined with his heart that we ask for the very things that he already wants. Now, there's certainly mysterious dynamics to that that I can't get into, nor could I ever explain them. I will, in a few minutes, give some guaranteed yes prayers that you can pray. That relate to answered prayers. But that's, I think, what he's talking about when he talks about these answered prayers. Now, in verse 11 and in verse 12 and 17, he talks about joy and he talks about love, specific fruits that are going to flow out of a person's life. So in addition to all, I mean, those are parts of the fruit of the Spirit. So let's just talk about the fruit of the Spirit for a second. And we'll start off with joy and love. Have you ever, like, looked at your life, analyzed it, thought about your life, and thought to yourself, man, I would really like to have more joy right now. And then tried to manufacture joy? I've done that. Or how about love? Have you ever looked at your life and thought, gosh, I really wish I was more loving? And then tried to manufacture love? Years and years ago, I had some circumstances that were a big mess in my life going on, and it was very difficult and challenging and hard. And as I was praying about it and reading the scriptures, this is what I felt like the Lord was saying to me. He's like, Sean, here's the problem. You don't love those people. Well, that's a hard thing to hear. And I agreed. I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't love those people. Okay. I'm not complete. Okay, we can deal with this. Like, so then I'm like, all right, so then what do I do? Let's get after it. Like, all right, so I'm going to be loving. Like, is there a list I can start checking off to generate love? And here's like for me, like this big kind of a paradigm shift that happened. I realized that I cannot make myself more loving. And neither can you. If you are deficient in love, Here's the bad news. You can't fix it. If you're deficient in joy, you can't fix it. There's not like a spot you can touch inside of you that makes that start to come alive. You know why? Because it's so deep inside of you, you can't reach it. But here's the encouragement. The encouragement is that Jesus can grow it in you. He can grow it. And that relates to all of the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy are these two. Well, what about patience? Kindness? Self-control? Like, you start going through the list. I mean, there are some sins in our lives that are pretty much, they're within the power that we can stop doing them. Okay? I remember when I was much, much younger, I think I was in college, and we were really psyched and kind of growing in Christ, and we decided, me and a few friends, we decided, you know what? We are going to stop using curse words. We're just not going to do it anymore. And you know what? That wasn't that hard to stop. Look, there's a point in the progression in your spiritual life when you're going to start getting to deficiencies that you can't get to. And the fruit of the Spirit is it. So here's what I'd like to maybe build upon this analogy of the abiding and the branch, the vine and the branch here. We abide, okay? We're connected. But we strengthen the abiding connection with the vine by reading the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, praying the Word of God. And when I was faced with that deficiency of love in my life, here's what I did. I got to, like, God just like, say, you can't do it. And I'm like, that's not good. I want to do it. He's like, no, you can do it, but here's how it's going to happen. You need to start digging into the Word and let me change you. So I started reading and memorizing verses on love. And I started to pray a prayer that sounded like this. God, I want you to give me love for those people that matches your love for those people. That is a prayer that God will answer with an astounding, bold, enthusiastic yes. If you find yourself deficient in any of these fruits of the Spirit, go to Him and say, look, I need it. And He will answer it with a yes. So the first kind of insight that we get here related to expectations is this. We should look like the vine because we have His DNA. And the DNA is Jesus. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's answered prayers. The second thing that we should be expecting is branches need pruning for great fruit. Branches need pruning for great fruit. We should just expect that it's going to come. Verse 2 tells us, every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may become more fruitful. Verse 1, my Father is the vine dresser. And so God, the Father, as the vine dresser, He's looking at all of our lives as we are connected to Jesus, His Son, the vine. He sees us as the branch, and He's like, all right, we're going to clip that off. Prune here. Cutting that off. Now, so look at this picture. This is a picture of two rows of vines that are overgrown. So you can see on both the right and the left that there's supposed to be two kind of straight lines. You can see how the branches are reaching across to each other. These vines are in desperate need of some pruning, okay? The next picture here shows this one very ambitious little stalk that's making its way from one row to another row. And the next picture shows how that specific little branch is now intertwining itself and grabbing onto the opposite row. Naturally, vines grow wildly, and they grow fast. And if you do not have a gardener or somebody who knows what they're doing, trimming them, pruning them back all the time, it's a mess. The bunches grow into each other. They produce these things called berries, which are really small, poor-tasting fruit. And look, the role of the vine dresser is vital. If you do not have a gardener doing it, It just becomes a big waste. Now, so think about the potential here, or the parallel between us and God on this. Because we naturally grow every direction too, don't we? And we naturally grab onto all kinds of stuff. And God, as the loving and all-knowing vine dresser, He prunes us and cuts us back. And it hurts. That's just the way it is. But it's good. Let's think about a few of these fruits of the Spirit, for example. Let's just say, as an example, that you are in need of patience in your life. You're reading the Word, you're diving in, you're resting and abiding in Christ, and you recognize, gosh, I have a need of more patience to be built in my life. Well, you should also expect that God, the gardener, is going to come along and He's going to start pruning selfishness out of your life. Because selfishness manifests itself in impatience. Or how about this one? Well, let's go back to love for a second. You're deficient in love. You're soaking in the Word, you're reading, you're praying. Well, God's going to come along and He's going to start pruning back the pursuit of personal comfort in your life. Because a pursuit of personal comfort is going to lead you to love yourself and not other people. Or how about peace? Same thing. Soaking in the Word, you're praying, memorizing Scripture on peace. And then God's going to come along and He's going to prune away unhealthy perfectionism in your heart. Because unhealthy perfectionism is going to lead you to being anxious and never having the peace that He wants you to have. This is His role. Now, let's just think about now the branches here, like the real vines and the branches. I mean, just consider how ridiculous it would be. If you went to this overgrown garden with some shears and you started to get ready to cut that little branch, and the branch started talking to you. And the branch said to you something like this, say, "Hey, hold on, don't cut me. This is the way how it's made to grow. Like, look how far I stretched. Isn't that a good, like, that's a long stretch all the way across there. I did that all in my own power. Don't cut me back." I mean, that's a little ridiculous. But most likely that's what the branch would say. And we as the gardener, even though we're not even as perfect as God, we would say, "Yeah, but this is a bad thing. This is a bad thing, man. We got to cut this off. You're making a mess of yourself. I'm going to cut you back. And it's going to be good. Temporarily painful, but eternally beneficial." I mean, can you recognize the pruning hand of God in your life? Because when you recognize His pruning hand, what it requires is this amazing sense of trust that He knows what He's doing. That He's pruning you because He loves you, not because He's out to hurt you. You know, an interesting note about how they prune real branches is this. When they will engraft a branch into a vine, it usually will take 3 to 4 years before quality fruit is produced. 3 to 4 years of that branch abiding. 3 to 4 years of a gardener coming along and cutting back. 3 to 4 years of the seasons coming and going. 3 to 4 years before quality fruit is produced. And then, beyond those 3 to 4 years, another 1 to 2 years before they would say it's in high yield. Wait, so the insights for our spiritual lives, I think, are pretty obvious. I mean, If you are a young believer, you may have great zeal and ambition, but the likelihood that the fruit that's being produced out of your life is the fruit of Jesus from the get-go is very low. And the best role through the formative years of your spiritual life is to be in a role of learning and growing, being under accountability of great leaders, people that can help mold you and move you in the direction that God wants you to move. And for mature Christians, people that have been walking with God for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, I think that it's important for you to recognize the value of soaking in God's Word and to recognize the value of the hardship and the pruning that God has taken you through. All of it has been done to produce high-quality fruits in your lives. So the second thing here, just to kind of wrap up expecting, we should be expecting fruit to naturally come out of our lives that looks like Jesus. And we should expect to be pruned and cut back. I mean, it seems pretty simple, doesn't it? That's what I love this, because it just seems so simple. Jesus is saying, look, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Stay connected to me. Strengthen the abiding, and you'll grow. I mean, as you look at this picture, how would you evaluate your abiding and your fruit bearing today? Would you say that your abiding connection is strong and that you're feeding it by soaking in the Word? What about your fruit bearing? How's your fruit? Because the fruit that's going to be produced is a direct result of your abiding. And see, I think that there are a few potential responses that I just want to throw out before we pray. And I think that maybe today some of you might find this to be a message of hope, because you have been just diligently striving to produce this spiritual fruit on your own. And the message of hope to you today is, you know what? You need to quit trying to produce this artificial fruit and just come back to the basics. And just trust in Christ, soak in His Word, devote yourself to prayer, and let Him develop the fruit out of you. You know what? Honestly, that's a whole lot easier than trying to produce that fruit. So I think that's a great message of hope for some of you. But on the converse side, I think maybe some today might be feeling like you're a branch who's growing wildly. I mean, you're just totally out of control. You're reaching and grabbing for everything and anything. And maybe today this imagery of the vine and the branches is God's way to get your attention. Because see, you are destined and designed as a follower of Jesus Christ to bear His fruit. Destined and designed to bear His fruit, not your own, and not to grow wild. And maybe today would be a day when you would say, gosh, okay, I need to, number one, I need to confirm that I'm actually abiding in Him. And secondly, man, I just need to get back to the basics of coming back to Christ and reading His Word and soaking in Him. And just get ready, because the pruning hand of God is going to come. If you are a wild branch, the pruning hand of God will come, and He will cut, and it will hurt. But it will be good. And maybe today that's a message that some of you just need to hear and rest in that. That's a hard one. And then the last potential response that just kind of came to my mind is this, is that maybe some of you are just in desperate need for some of that fruit. Like, you look at your life, and when I was kind of rattling off the fruit of the Spirit, you just resonate. You're like, oh, I need some patience so badly. I see impatience totally surrounding my heart and my life. I'm desperately in need of patience. I mean, you can fill in the blank. I am in desperate need of which of those fruit of the Spirit. And so, listen, here is like the clear call here from these verses. You know what to do? Ask. Like, not just like ask, like, okay, like if it's self-control. All right, look, God, I got to get some self-control in this situation. Otherwise, I'm going to do something really dumb. I'm going to do something, I'm going to regret it. I know it. So, can I have a little self-control? All right, well, that didn't help. All right, let's just do it. All right? Like, I'm not talking about that. Like, That's not a real prayer of self-control, asking for some self-control. We've all prayed, though. That's why we're laughing. But how about some heartfelt, earnest, desperation prayers for whatever you need? Guaranteed, God's going to meet you. When we ask for things that are in alignment with His Word and in alignment with His will, He will answer that prayer. Like on your knees, like disrupting your life kinds of prayers, because you are so much in need of that. Sometimes I think, like myself included, that we're just a little bit too casual about the whole thing. Man, I really need some of whatever. And so we throw up a couple casual prayers and then we wonder why our lives don't change. Here, look, the good news of this passage is if we are connected to Him, abiding in Him, He wants to and will be flowing through us. And we ask Him to do it more, He's just going to do it more. So if you would, just bow your heads, and we're just going to take a moment here to connect with our Heavenly Father, the Gardener. God, thank You for watching out over us, very lovingly and painstakingly pruning us, rearranging us so that we can grow and produce this amazing fruit. So first off, we just want to say thank You for that. And then we would just come and say, help us. Help us grow. Help us know You more. Lord, we would just ask as a church collectively that You would be bearing more and more and more of Jesus' fruit through our lives. And we just commit ourselves to the process, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.